Okay, so we come now to the very end of Pirkei Avos, sixth parak. Again, as we discussed already a few times, sixth parak was added on to Pirkei Avos, not really part of Pirkei Avos, it's brises, the Kinyan Torah. So we're up to the last two brises, brise Yud and Yud Aleph, which we'll understand today. The brise says, Yud, chamisha kinyanim, kana kodesh baruch hu ba'olamo. There are five items or possessions, items that one owns, a possession that Kadosh Baruch Hu acquired for himself in this world. You know, in this parak earlier, we described how you make Torah your possession. We had 48 steps to 48 ways to make Torah your possession, Kinyan Torah. Okay, and here it tells that Kadosh Baruch Hu also made certain acquisitions in this world, and they are Torah, Kinyan Echad, Shemayim Baruch, Kinyan Echad, Avram, Kinyan Echad, and so on. Those are the five, right? So how do we count it again? I'll ask him for a reason. We'll see. So there's Torah, there's Shemayim Va'aretz, there's Avram, and let's start again. There's Torah, Kinyan Echad, Shemayim Va'aretz, Kinyan Echad, Avram, Kinyan Echad, Yisrael, Kinyan Echad, Beis HaMikdash, Kinyan Echad. Those are the five things. And there are psukim, which back up each one of these kinyanim with a pasuk that indicates that Kadosh Baruch Hu has it as a kinyan. Like, for example, Torah says, Hashem kanani repasuk in the Mishnah, Hashem kanani reishis darko. Shemayim Aretz, right? Shemayim kisvaretz, other one, et cetera, et cetera. Regarding Avram, there is some debate, okay, because in some versions, actually Avram is not listed as one of the kinyanim, and really it shouldn't say that there are five kinyanim, but there are only four kinyanim, and Avram is left out. The pasuk that says by Avram, it says, Baruch Avram l'keleon kone shemayim v'aretz. If you look carefully, and by the way, the Vilna Gaon and others have a girsa here that it should be four and not five. Avram is not there. As far as the pasuk quoted for Avram Avinu, that's really that's Kone Shemayim Va'aretz. Okay, that relates to Shemayim Va'aretz. Avram relates to that, but it's Avram is not a separate kinyan. Okay, it doesn't say that Avram was a kinyan. That's how some suggest. And again, going back even earlier than the Vilna Gaon, the Maksuvitch, others have the gears of the only four kinyanim here. The Tiferes Yisrael explains that Avram is, so to speak, it goes together with Shemayim Va'aretz in the sense that it's through Avram Avinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired, if you will, Shemayim Va'aretz, because he's the one who publicized HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world and so on. So that's a possibility. What exactly do we mean when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kinyanim? Everything belongs to him, right? I mean, Mala Aretz Kinyan Echa, we say in the Davening. So everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are these kinyanim? In other words, so the answer is, what is a kinyan? A kinyan is someone that someone acquires, either he spends money on it or he, acquires it as a gift or something. It's something that you want, something you have a special relationship with, okay? And that's the idea of over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, everything in the world is his, but these items over here, Shemayim Va'aretz, the world as a whole, I will leave Avram out of the Torah, the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people. These are things with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a specific relationship, okay? And again, it's a difficult idea to understand, but all of it has to do with something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, wants. We can't speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting something or lacking something. Nonetheless, these are five things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, so to speak, a special relationship with. And I think that one can add, okay, I mean, Shemayim Va'aretz, the first is obvious, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be a world. He didn't need a world. He didn't, doesn't benefit, existed before the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wanted Shemayim Va'aretz, and he wanted, so to speak, to become the Melech. I gotta say, he wanted to become the Melech over a universe that had people in it that could recognize his kingship. We've mentioned in the past, we know that Rosh Hashanah is usually sometimes identified as the beginning of the creation of the world, but it's actually not the beginning of the creation of the world. It's not the first day of creation, but the sixth day of creation. Rosh Hashanah commemorates the sixth day of creation. Sixth day of creation is the day of creation which Adam Rishon was created, man was created, Adam and Chava were created on day six, because now the ownership of Shemayim Va'aretz became relevant. Kadosh Baruch Hu owned, so to speak, Shemayim Va'aretz before. But until there was someone or a being capable of understanding that, what good does it do that you're the Melech? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any impact. If I go someplace to a I'll go to a desert island someplace, or I go someplace in the forest by myself, and I announce, right, I'm the king. Okay, there. What's there, right? There's nobody there to recognize it. It means I call myself the king, big deal. Doesn't matter, I'm the king, but so what? Are there a few bugs there and some chipmunks or whatever? What does it mean? It's only relevant when there's a being capable of understanding. So that's why when we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rosh Hashanah, when we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's the king of the world and so on, we talk about that, Malchios on Rosh Hashanah, it's the anniversary of the creation of man, because now you have a creature that's able to understand what it means to have a king. Okay, so Shemayim Va'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kinyan, but it became known through man. And the truth is, maybe that explains why Avram, those Girsas that have Avram, is one of the five over here. It makes sense, because really until Avram, there was nobody who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't really recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the king. And the fact that, the interesting question, whenever we begin a bracha, the bracha begins, Baruch HaTa Hashem Elokim Melech HaOlam. We have to mention both Shem and Malchus in a bracha. That's a Gemara brachas, right? You have to mention both Shem and Malchus. We have no Shem and Malchus, not a real bracha. So there are many questions. We have brachas that don't have it up, but they're all juxtaposed to another bracha, brachas from Chalach Maritah. So it's connected to a previous bracha. Let's say in the Birchas Kriyashma. The second bracha, the Birchas Kriyashma, starts out in the morning, starts Abba Rabba, and then Baruchat Hashem, Oyev Amo Yisrael. Baruch Hashem Yisrael B'Avo in the morning, or in the evening also. It starts, Ava Solom ends, Oev Amo Yisrael. So where's the Baruch HaTashem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam? Where's the Malchus at the beginning? Where's the Malchus at the beginning? We're in benching, right? Where each bracha starts, the second bracha starts Noda, the third bracha starts Rachim. Where's the answer that's connected to an original bracha, which says Baruch HaTashem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam? So it flows from there, then it's okay. So the question is, what about the Shemoneh Esrei? The Shemoneh Esrei doesn't begin with Melech at all. There's no Baruch HaShem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam. The first Baruch HaShem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam does not begin. So one of the answers is, yeah, but it mentions Avram. Right? So that takes the place of Malchus. That's the same idea, because Avram recognized. So from that perspective, what I'm suggesting now, Avram makes sense. Okay. Now Yisrael, when it says Yisrael, Kinyan Echad, so what exactly is Yisrael? Yisrael represents that people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted on this earth, okay, that would serve him. And originally, and there are makoros for this, originally Yisrael, so to speak, was supposed to be everybody, right, all of mankind. Then it got narrowed down because mankind didn't behave properly and so on. It got narrowed down. And it didn't even get, it didn't get narrowed down to Avram, because Avram had a son, Ishmael, and Yitzhak had a son, Esav. It wasn't until Yaakov was given the title, Yisrael is a title, Yaakov was given the title Yisrael, that was originally, so to speak, the plan the entire world. Okay, so it relates to the same point of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. Okay, Torah is again what gives someone a glimpse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Torah gives the creatures on this earth some kind of understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You can't really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. We can get a glimpse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quote unquote personality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. We can't understand it, but we can get some insight through Torah. And we've mentioned this in the past. The Ramban and his Akdoma to the Chumash writes that the whole Torah, so to speak, is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Kabbalistic concept. What it means is you want to say the name. The name defines a person. That's who he is. So the Torah defines HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every piece of the Torah, you put it all together, then you get a glimpse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. And the Beis HaMikdash, the last one, is the place on this earth where HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests himself most notably or most perceptively. That's the place, that's his place, right? And that's the place we come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all these things relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery and ownership of the universe, basically. If Shemayim Va'aretz, Avram, Yisrael, well, the two separate things of manifestation, the same idea, Torah and Beis HaMikdash, that's what it means, Kinyan. Okay, that's what a Kinyan is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants and gets a benefit from, and that's why he created the world. Not because he needed something, but he manifests his greatness through these different things. Okay, so that's a Brisa Yud. Brisa Yud Aleph, an interesting statement. It says, Kol ma shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo, lo bro el chvodo. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, he created for his own glory. Okay. What exactly does that mean? Okay, so it quotes a pasuk, right? The pasuk is in Yeshayah, "Kol nikor shmil chvodi brosi." right? It says, it's actually what you need the brisa for. That's the pasuk. Nikar b'shmi lechvodi brasiv. But that brisa highlighting the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for his glory. Now that sounds a little strange, because what do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires covered? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, you know, what is he wants covered? The whole, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need that, and covered and so on. So what I think it means is, and we've discussed this also in the past, that one can come to respect and honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu through everything in the world. Not that he needs it, but everything in the world, the tiniest, most insignificant creature or plant or whatever, it can be a way of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we say in the Tehillim, I mentioned once before, Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod Kael. The very heavens proclaim the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as quoted from the Rav, you know, and again in his poetic language, he said, you can find Hashem in the rustling of the wind, in the babbling of the brook, and so on. You can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything if you look for it. The problem is a lot of interference, a lot of noise. Okay? We don't stop and smell the flowers, like the expression is in English, right? So we don't appreciate the beauty of the world. But if you look at it, you can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his greatness in every aspect of the world. Okay? That's how the Maharal explains Melo Cholaritz Kvodo. We say in Kedusha, right? Blessing Yeshaya, Kodosh, 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 and so on. Melo Cholaritz Kvodo. Okay, what is Melo Cholaritz Kvodo? You can find the covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in absolutely everything. Okay? Now, that also, in other words, you have to know to look for it. You have to know how to see it. You can, if you look carefully, you can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. And a person should sometimes take a moment out of the day, even for a moment, you know, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his world, okay, and appreciate the beauty of something in the world. A good piece of advice in general. To take one moment out every day, okay, take half a second. Think of something that you have or something in this world that's beautiful and acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do it in the davening, but a lot of times we're daydreaming during davening, but that's exactly what it means, okay? We say in the bracha, more rabu masecha Hashem, right? More rabu, how great, right? How wonderful your creations are. That's what it means. So if you can think about it, then it's good. But if not, at some other point during the day, you pass a tree, you pass a flower, you see a pretty sky, you see a sunset, you see the ocean, something, you know, you pause for just a second. You can do it every day and recognize the greatness of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a one interpretation. With that interpretation, you can also say that it's strange because it ends with Omer Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod, right? That's a pasuk at the end of Oz Yashir. What's that got to do with this? It's a strange ending, no? Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod. I mean, it's true, but what's it got to do with what's it got to do with anything? If you're talking about the cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does that relate to Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod? So according to what we just suggested, it connects because everything, you can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence all the time, meaning he's always there. Nature is a constant. And therefore, Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod, a boss of Adam, king, so or leader, or something. He's here today, he's going tomorrow, right? So you can see certain things in the country that reflect his leadership or that reflect his personality, something, the monuments and this and that, okay? But, that could disappear tomorrow, right? And as soon as he's gone, then those things that represented him are gone also pretty quickly thereafter, okay? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod, so you have all those things in nature reflect the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you can find them all the time, okay? And they're constant, they were constant. So that's the notion of Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod according to that approach, okay? One can also suggest that that's how some of the Mefarshim here suggest that, you know, there are different realms, spiritual realms, and so on and so forth, like heavens. So there you have malachim and different creatures constantly praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? To help you understand what goes on with the malachim and the Fanim, v'chayos HaKodesh, and they're all, proclaiming the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in that ultimate world, that heavenly sphere. How we understand what that means? So we might have thought that, okay, over there I can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's lichvodo, right? That's what the psukim we say. V'kar ezel zevi amar. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Shem tzvakas malachatz kvodo, right? The covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proclaimed by these heavenly beings, whom we mimic, okay, in certain points in our davening and so on. But in that realm, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covered. And I think in this realm, not, okay? In this realm, not. Because here, after all, maybe we say it's better, we shouldn't have been created at all. But Kamashalan, Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod, no, that's even in this world, okay? Even in this world, because Baruch Hu is permanent, so to speak, and therefore, even in this world, you can find the You can find the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just add one other point, and that is also when it says Kol Ma Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for, you know, for his covenant, it means the totality of nature. Every little piece of nature plays a role in painting the overall picture. And just a small change in anything, okay, small change in anything can have catastrophic consequences. We see that right now, right? This small little virus and so on and so forth has turned the whole world upside down. I mean, you know, that you can have a hurricane because a butterfly flaps its wings in one place. This causes a chain reaction. A different place causes that to this, that to happen all the way down the road, right? You've come across that notion, right? A butterfly flapping his wings eventually can cause a tidal wave or something. You know, everything in the world is interconnected. Everything in the universe is interconnected. And just a small change in climate or a small change in other, some kind of other natural phenomena, you know, I mean, if the earth would be 1 degree closer to the sun, it would melt. If it would be 1 degree further away, it would freeze, right? Everything is set up, and it's interconnected, okay? World, I think Rav Shmuel von Hirsch once wrote that he went to see the Alps, okay, which are beautiful, majestic mountains and so on and so forth, because he felt that otherwise I could have broken out of China. What, you lived so close, you never went to go see my Alps? You know, I mean, again, you're supposed to appreciate the beauty of this world. And again, everything reflects the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that concludes Pirkei Avos. I'll just mention at the very end, there's a minig at the end of each parak to say this, Rav Chanan ben Akasha, this b'risa, okay? Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakos es Yisrael. Right, and people wonder, why do we have so many mitzvahs and so many obligations and so many requirements, so many details? Okay, and the answer is because Hashem Chafetz Man Sidko Yagdil Torah Ve'Adir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us chus, the more mitzvahs that we have. It's true, the more mitzvahs, the more responsibilities, but the more mitzvahs, the greater the reward. Okay, and like we said back at the beginning, Lefum Tzara Agra, how much effort you put in, that's what you get out. Right, so we have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of mitzvahs that we have to do. It sounds like a big list of requirements and so on, but we should recognize that ultimately it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us the opportunity to get more credit, extra credit, and more mitzvahs. We can always hop another mitzvah, learn a little more, and so on. That's Yagdil Torah Ve'Adir, to make the Torah great and glorious. Anyway, this concludes our brief overview of Pirkei Avos. I hope you enjoyed it. I guess it turned out 48 of these highlights. And it's always good to learn Pirkei Avos. You learn even more. You can learn a tremendous amount from it. Okay. Wish everybody a good day. And we'll have Shiur at the regular time this morning.